Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Well, I think that this will prove a great way to spend Monday, Thursday afternoon looking at, studying, and learning from a hymn recently written called What Is This Bread? You may discern from the title that it has to do with the Lord's Supper, and that's what Maundy Thursday is about as well, the institution of the celebration of the Lord's Supper, that meal that Jesus left his disciples to do in remembrance of him, to eat and to drink, he said, for the forgiveness of sins. And this hymn, What Is This Bread?, asks two great questions, at least to begin with. What is this bread? What is this wine? Very important to understand the proper biblical answers to those questions. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. As I said, it's Monday, Thursday afternoon. Joining us for the next hour to study the Lord's Supper hymn, What Is This Bread?, Dr. Arthur Just, professor of New Testament and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. A delight to be with you on this very holy day in which we remember Jesus' words on that night in which he was betrayed.
Let's go to that night, to the upper room there, to those words of Christ, in light of the first two questions posed by this hymn that we're going to be studying. What is this bread? What is this wine? How does our Savior himself answer those questions that night?
That is really, in many ways, the question that we have to embrace on this holy day. And the disciples, when they gathered with Jesus on that night, they had expectations. I mean, this was a meal that their whole lives they had celebrated at this time of year, the Passover. It had a particular structure to it. There were particular texts that were rehearsed, the Exodus and the like, particular foods that were put on the table, and there was always an interpretation of what the foods meant from the Exodus account. And the foods that were, you know, at the heart of it were the breaking of the bread, and then the wine that was, in a sense, part of the meal from beginning to end. It starts with a toast with a cup of wine. They toast the Exodus after the telling of the Exodus story. And then there's the wine after the supper, which is the wine that is part of the Lord's Supper now for us. They did not have any idea that Jesus would interpret the bread and the wine the way he did. They had never heard anything like this before. They had seen hosts at meal, including Jesus, take the bread, break it, and give it to people, which is, in a sense, the way the meal started. And then after the supper, taking the cup of blessing, it was called, which we bless, Paul says. But they had seen these actions, but nobody had ever said, take, eat, you know, this bread is my body. Nobody had ever taken the cup of wine and say, take, drink, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. That would have been the most radical thing they could have possibly have heard at that moment. And I'm sure they had, a very great struggle with it. But there were a few things they would have known. That they would have known that bread was the food of sin, that there is no bread in paradise, so to speak, because you got to work to get bread. You got to plant the seed, you got to till the soil, you got to grow it up, you got to harvest it, you got to knead it, you got to work with it to make it bread, the wheat, the barley. And the wine, they would have understood, is the the drink of the end times, the drink of heaven that rejoices the heart. So bread is the means by which now Jesus is saying, you have my body broken in death, not his bones broken, but his body broken in death. And the wine is the means by which you have my blood. And here blood means life as much as it means death. The life that has no end, that rejoices the heart. So Jesus' answer, and this hymn is a wonderful hymn because it basically, in a sense, embraces the questions Luther has on Holy Communion in the Small Catechism. But these are the questions that have been asked from that night. What is this bread? What is this wine? And this wonderful hymn by the Bowies is just a wonderful, simple entrance into the answer and, the in a sense, the mystery of those questions that Jesus gives that extraordinary answer to on the night in which he was betrayed.
Well, here's stanza one of What Is This Bread? It's written by, as Dr. just mentioned, good friend of Issues, etc., Pastor Fritz Bowie of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. What is this bread? Christ's body risen from the dead. This bread we break, this life we take, was crushed to pay for our release. O taste and see, the Lord is peace. Sung by the Capella of Concordia University, Nebraska, the first stanza of What Is This Bread? Dr. Just, what do you find here in the first stanza?
Well, you know, what Pastor Bowie is doing here is he's taking things that we know about, but he's presenting them in a new and fresh way. And some of the images here are really kind of startling. You know, what is this bread? Christ's body, you sort of expect him to go to the death, but he says risen from the dead. We sometimes forget that. You know, Paul says we proclaim his death until he comes. But Christ's body that we eat is his risen body. And this bread we break, this life we take, the life is in the bread. Bread is the food of life, as we always say. You know, we're quoting Jesus here. I am the bread of life. But that life was crushed in the cross, broken, to pay so that we might be free. Now there, he's using the word of release for the forgiveness of sins. You know, that we are freed from our sins because his body is crushed. And I love the way it's unexpected. It certainly rhymes, but it's unexpected. Oh, taste and see. That's clearly from the psalm, taste and see that the Lord is good. But here it's the Lord is peace. It is in the death of Jesus, in body broken, in his risen body that we eat, that we have peace. There's the reconciliation between us and God. There is our forgiveness. There is our freedom in Christ.
If someone says, and sadly, Dr. Just, so many do, that when Jesus speaks those words, this is my body, he means not what he says, but what makes more sense to us, which is this bread in some way represents, symbolizes my body. Can such Christians, misunderstanding Christ's words, go on to talk about receiving life, receiving forgiveness through this bread?
Well, the only way they receive it is the way they have received other things, and that is by faith. You know, hearing the word, they receive it by faith, but they don't receive it in a physical eating of his very body and his very blood. No, they can't. If they come to our churches, they receive his very body and blood, even though they may not believe it. But they in their churches, they're not receiving that very thing. So there is, in a sense, that they embrace it by faith, but not in the physical eating and drinking of body and blood, which, of course, you know, don't ask me to explain that, Todd. That is mystery of mysteries that we simply receive in faith. But we are eating. We are eating and drinking the body and blood of the crucified and risen Lord. And that is one of the great wonders.
I guess kind of behind my question was not so much what was being received, but what's being confessed here. It doesn't seem to make much sense to talk about forgiveness through something symbolized, or receiving life through a mere symbol, or just my best remembrance of what Christ did for me. Those things certainly benefit through faith, but it sounds as though what Christ gives here is so much greater than what so many Christians believe. Your thoughts with about a minute.
Well, the forgiveness we receive here is because our flesh and his flesh are joined together. There's a union there. And so that forgiveness is a real release because our broken flesh has now been joined to his whole flesh. So we are made whole. We are released from the sins that bind us because he now is part of us and we are part of him. So yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, to think of that as a symbolic for a symbolic bread and body and blood is to think of it as a symbolic forgiveness.
Dr. Arthur Justice, our guest, we're studying the Lord's Supper hymn, What is This Bread, on this Monday, Thursday afternoon. You can read an article that Dr. Just has written titled Feeding the World, the Lord's Supper in Luke's Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Dr. Just is professor of New Testament and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke, and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. When we come back, stanza two of What is This Bread, taking up the question, what is this wine? Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Monday, Thursday afternoon. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the hymn, What is This Bread? All about the Lord's Supper. Dr. Just, one more question on the refrain that we are going to hear slightly modified with each one of these stanzas. you noted before, it says, oh, taste and see the Lord. And we would expect to say the Lord is good, because that would be a quotation directly from the psalm that's referenced here so obviously. Can we say here, oh, taste and see the Lord is peace, king, free, real good, all of those things, because in this meal, the Lord is indeed here among us.
Exactly. And I mean, and because he is there, everything that he is, we receive. And the I mean, you read that. That's a nice list. Peace, king, free, real, good. Yeah, all those things are ours because he is there in his flesh, and we are partaking of it. And that is at the heart of what the meal is about, that when we get the Lord, we get everything that he is. And, you know, in the small catechism, Luther says forgiveness, life, and salvation. And that, I mean, that is, you know, at the heart of it. And what Pastor Bowie has done is helped us to see that when there's forgiveness, life, and salvation, there is peace. The Lord is our king. You know, we are free. There's, in a sense, another word for forgiveness, frankly. And he is good because he is real. So, yeah, that's exactly right.
Stanza two of what is this bread? What is this wine? The blood of Jesus shed for mine. The cup of grace brings his embrace of life and love until I sing, O taste and see, the Lord is King. Stanza two of the great hymn, What is This Bread? Dr. Just, this is, again, kind of more things that you can't say unless Jesus is really in the room, unless he's there.
Yeah,
talk about that, if you would.
No, that's absolutely right. And I, what I love about this stanza is that Pastor Bowie has really captured the nature of the wine, that it is the cup of grace, you know, and I love that it brings his embrace, that what we receive in receiving the cup of wine is we receive the cup of the blood that has embraced us in life and love. And we sing. This is the rejoicing. This is the wine that rejoices the heart. But that second line, the blood of Jesus shed for mine, that is not possible unless we believe that blood is there in the cup as well as the wine. And it's all grace. This is all gift. And to end, you know, in a sense, with wine is to end with gift. That's what the wine reminds us, that we receive in this supper the greatest gift that God can give. Again, Pastor Bowie surprises us at the end by saying the Lord is King, that you know, you don't expect that, but the King there now is not the King who is suffering on the cross now, but the King of Heaven, the one who is, you know, reigning from his throne on high, and that's what the wine, you know, gives us, that end time, you know, drink that gives us the joy of heaven itself, where our King embraces us.
I'm reminded of Jesus saying to his disciples, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom.
Kingdom, yeah. And that is one of the most misunderstood statements, because oftentimes people think that the kingdom there is the end times. But he's King, you know, after he rises from the dead. And the kingdom that we eat and drink with him is the kingdom, you know, that is at the supper. But that kingdom is always attached to the final kingdom. It's always a foretaste and participation in the heavenly feast of the King.
You mentioned before what must have just confounded the disciples in the first giving of the Lord's Supper with the words of Christ, things they'd never seen or heard before. What would it have sounded like to a first century Jew, a devout Jew, to hear about drinking blood?
Scandalous. This would, I mean, you just don't drink blood. That was something that would have offended them. They really would have been undone by this. They would have found this whole thing to have been extremely difficult to understand and compute. It would have caused them no end of questioning, even grief. They might have even thought that he had lost his mind, that something was very amiss here. It is language that would have really been almost incomprehensible to them.
And yet, apparently, Christ's word communicates to them precisely what needs to be said and believed.
Well, they clearly understood it after he rose from the dead, because it says in Acts that he ate and drank with them after he rose from the dead. And he demonstrates, you know, while he is with them for those 40 days until the ascension, that this is how he is going to be with them now. This is how he is going to, as it says at the end of Matthew's Gospels, I am with you always to the end of the ages. This is how it's going to be. It's going to be where he is host and food, where he is, you know, as it says in the hymn, priest and victim, where he is the one who is presiding and the one who is feeding and the one who is coming down from heaven with his gifts in bread and wine. And that clearly became immediately accessible to them, because right after Pentecost, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship in the breaking of bread, and to prayers. So they clearly saw that this was the way in which Jesus was now going to be present for them in his flesh, in his body and blood.
Here is stanza 3 of What Is This Bread? So who am I that I should live and he should die under the rod? My God, why have you not forsaken me? O taste and see, the Lord is free. Dr. Just, what is the hymn doing now? It's now said and confessed what needs to be said. What's happening now?
Well, this is where, you know, Pastor Bowie really does kind of challenge us in the way in which we look at the supper, and he, you know, he really kind of puts it to us in the sense that he makes us reflect on the fact that it is our sin that is punishing Jesus, that he is forsaken by the Father on our behalf. And then instead of us being forsaken by God, he does the taking our place for us. And he states it in this simple way, that I should live and he should die. I'm the one who should die because I'm the sinner. I'm the one who should be punished. I'm the one who should pay the penalty. And yet I live. I not only live, but in the context of this hymn, I feast upon his life, his very, you know, living body and living blood. You know, and why shouldn't I be the one who is forsaken because of my sin? But no, he is the one who does it for me. And it's really a wonderful moment of kind of reflection that we all should have at the supper about the enormity of our sin and the enormity of the price that he paid to free us from our sins. And the Lord is free. The Lord is the one who has made us free because of his act of atonement. This is a way of speaking of the atonement that is fresh and new and really does it in such a way that it makes us really think about what it is that's going on between my sin and his bearing of my sin so that he might feed me in something that forgives me my sins.
This is, and I want to talk about this on the other side of the break, staying with stanza three just for a few minutes. This is pure substitution. I mean, there's no getting around this in this third stanza, right there at the center of this Lord's Supper hymn, the substitutionary atonement. After having sung this hymn just one time years ago, never again approach the Lord's Supper without this third stanza rolling around in my head. I think that Dr. Just is absolutely right. This is precisely the mind that we should have going to the Lord's table to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, a knowledge of our sin, and of Christ's superabundant mercy and grace, and the fact that he took our place in all of these things. When we come back, it's quite interesting in that third stanza in asking the question, who am I? The hymn writer here, Pastor Fritz Bowie, actually ends up telling us who Jesus is for us. We'll talk about that after this.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Another adult stem cell miracle.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The Daily Telegraph recently reported that doctors in England used adult stem cells to restore vision to 9 individuals who had lost their sight. Surgeons at the Northeast England Stem Cell Institute took stem cells from an undamaged part of the patient's eyes, grew them, and then stitched them onto the damaged part of the eye. In each instance, the patients regained all or most of their vision. This is yet another instance of adult stem cells healing patients, while embryonic stem cell research, which kills a human being at the embryonic stage, has yet to cure a single person of any disease.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
The Lord's Supper hymn that we're studying on this Maundy Thursday is called What Is This Bread? You can find the text of this hymn at our website, issuesetc.org, under the Listen on Demand page. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Dr. Just, before we leave this central stanza behind, your thoughts on what I said before the break. In asking the question, who am I, the hymn writer here, Pastor Bowie, actually ends up telling us who Jesus is for us.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. I think that is exactly what he's doing. And, you know, we sometimes forget that one of the great issues that was not just an issue of the first century, but an issue throughout the history of the world is identity. I mean, from where do we get our identity? I mean, the Jews said it was by blood, you know, bloodlines, hereditary lines, genealogies. And here now we're being told that it is because we have this union with Christ that we are his and our identity is in him. So who am I? I am his. Why? Because he has given me, life by taking upon himself my sin and then giving me, in the death that he died, the body and blood that he, in a sense, gave on that cross, giving me that so that I might have life. And that's who I am now. I am his. I live his life. Paul said it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And you're absolutely right. By telling us, who he is, we find out who we are.
I can't help but think of St. Paul speaking, not for himself alone, but for, I believe, all Christians, when he says, I think in one of his letters to the Corinthians, we are, answering this kind of question, who are we? We are all one body, for we all eat of one body and drink of one cup.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why we call the church the body of Christ, because that's where our identity is. That's who we are.
So it often body of Christ is kind of spiritualized to just mean group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The body of, you could talk about a corporate body or something like that. Is there a real connection between the body of Christ and the body of Christ?
Well, because Christ is for us, and this substitutionary atonement, as you said, is what this verse is about, he then joins us to himself. And so everybody who gathers together as his baptized are joined to Christ, and so all of us together make up his body. So yeah, it is an extraordinary manifestation of the presence of Christ, because the Christ for us is now Christ who has joined himself to us.
Stanza 4, yet is God here, oh yes, by word and promise clear, in mouth and soul he makes us whole, Christ truly present in this meal, oh taste and see the Lord is real. Your thoughts on this fourth stanza?
Well, Pastor Bowie here now is in a sense being catechetical. We have talked about bread and wine and body and blood and a substitutionary atonement. But now I think he asked the question that is on some people's minds: Is God really here? And the way he answers it: Oh yes, by word and promise. That is how. We know, because this is what his word says and this is what his promise says. And then I love the way he talks about body and soul, in mouth and soul. As I said, the new, dismissal in our church is, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you in body and soul unto life everlasting. And because he is here in mouth and soul, we are what God created us to be. We are whole. We are the broken bodies that we have, the broken souls, the broken people that we are now made whole. We are made one in him. We have our in a sense, our destiny of being made what God created us to be restored to us now in this holy meal. And he says, Christ truly present in this meal. That is what we've been saying all along. The Lord is real, and we talk about the real presence. The Lord is real, body and blood, real presence, truly present, in mouth, in soul, so that we might be whole.
I remember once singing through this hymn during the distribution of the Lord's Supper and just getting mentally snagged on this stanza, not because there's anything wrong with it, but because that very phrase, in mouth and soul, wondering to myself, is it the mouth that speaks the promise? Yes. Is it the mouth that receives the bread and the body? Yes. in mouth and soul, he makes us whole, that is restoring us both physically and spiritually. There's a lot in those few words.
Boy, there is. And it's really what it's about. I mean, we talk more and more about what God is doing is simply taking care of us. I mean, and how does he take care of us? He takes care of us in our whole being, not just our spiritual part. He takes care of our bodies, too. How does he do that? He feeds us food. He gives us bread, you know, to eat and wine to drink. But in that very cup is his blood. In that very bread is his body. And he, you know, in both, he gets the whole person. And it is, I mean, again, every one of these verses, and it's just because the supper is this way, it's mind-boggling. It's almost too much, you know, to take. As the disciples said to Jesus in the upper room after he rose from the dead and came to them and said, peace to you, and you know, shows them his body, you know, the wounds. And he says, see, I am flesh and blood. You know, Luke says that they disbelieve for joy. And I think that's how we feel too when we come to the supper. When we come, it's too good to be true. We can't believe it. But it is true. It is real.
The church has called the Lord's Supper at times the medicine of immortality. What does that mean?
That means that we, in this meal, receive that which makes us whole so that we will live forever. And I mean, that's the thing that happens in baptism, too. That happens in the preaching of the word, and it happens in the supper, that our broken, finite bodies are joined to his whole, resurrected, infinite body. And because of that, you know, we are healed so that we might now have eternity, because we are joined to the eternal one.
The fifth and final stanza of What Is This Bread? Is this for me? I am forgiven and set free. I do believe that I receive the very body and his blood. O taste and see the Lord is good. We're coming up on a break, Dr. Just. Begin, if you would, with some brief thoughts on this final stanza, and then we'll pick up on the other side of the break. About 1 minute.
Here we you know, ask the question that is, in a sense, the final question: Should I come? Is this supper for me? And the answer, of course, is yes, because this is where I am released from my sin. I believe this. And in believing, I receive body and blood. And I love the way he ends. He actually now quotes the psalm, Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see, the Lord is good.
We're talking about the hymn, What Is This Bread? When we come back from the break, we'll hear the entire hymn with Dr. Arthur Just, get his final thoughts as well. Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. If you appreciate hymn studies like this on issues, etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift to help support the worldwide outreach of issues, etc. You can make a gift by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during Holy Week. When we come back, some more thoughts on this final stanza, the words that Luther loved to speak so often of, as he would say, delivering the essence of the gospel message, the words for you. Here, they're turned around kind of into the first person, for me. Dr. Just's thoughts on that. And then we'll hear the entire hymn on this Maundy Thursday afternoon, What is This Bread?
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org. Welcome back. 10 more minutes on this Thursday afternoon with Dr. Arthur Just studying the Maundy Thursday Lord's Supper hymn, What is This Bread? We'll hear the entire hymn in just a minute. Dr. Just, the word the phrase in this last stanza, is this for me, is just a very simple kind of turnaround of one of Luther's favorite two words, for you. Why so favorite for the 16th century reformer?
Because this is where the gospel now is brought home to the individual. This is in a sense one of the beauties of the gospel is that it's for the world, it's for everyone, but then it does have to come down for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It's that statement that the pastor says when he gives you the body of Christ, he holds it in front of your eyes. And he says, the body of Christ. And then when he puts it in your mouth, he says, for you. Or the cup, he takes the cup and he says, the blood of Christ. And then he pours it into your mouth, shed for you. This is where, in a sense, you deliver the goods. The gifts are given. And there you actually now are joined to that eternal one, that Christ of Calvary. That Christ of the empty tomb, that Christ, who is the King of the universe, the one who is the babe of Bethlehem, the one who walked our roads and healed our sick and cast out demons and fed the 5,000. This is the Jesus now for you, for the forgiveness of your sins.
Here's the Capella Choir of Concordia University, Nebraska, singing the Lord's Supper hymn, What is This Bread?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Just, your final thoughts on this great hymn for the Lord's Supper. What is this bread?
Well, as we are now on that day in which the church celebrates the institution of this meal, I think we need to just sit back and reflect on how God provides for us, how God is able to, in His Son, give us what we need. And what we need is to be made whole, to be restored, to be healed, to be forgiven. What we need is to be fed on our journey, on our pilgrimage. And He feeds us with the only food that we could possibly ever want, His very body and blood. And in doing so, what He does is He joins us with all the saints, the angels and the archangels and the whole company of heaven, in that magnificent feast that is going on in heaven as it is going on in earth. And so that in this meal, we have a glimpse and a foretaste of that final messianic banquet, that heavenly banquet that we will partake of. But what is even more extraordinary than a foretaste is a participation already now in that feast. Because Christ, the Christ of heaven, is now on earth in this wonderful food that He feeds us with. And in doing so, we can sing the hymns that rejoice the heart, the hymns of heaven, joining our voices with the voices of the angels and the archangels and all those who have died and risen in Christ, to sing the song of the Lamb who was slain and is raised again.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk about the Passion of Christ according to the Gospel of Luke. Dr. Arthur Just will be with us again for Good Friday. Dr. Arthur Just is Professor of New Testament and Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. You can purchase both of these resources by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Dr. Just, thank you very much. Look forward to tomorrow's conversation.
I look forward to it, too. And tomorrow we will begin with the supper, because that's how the Passion of Jesus begins in Luke's Gospel. The night in which He was betrayed is the beginning of the Passion, and He does it by sitting at table with His disciples and instituting this extraordinary meal that we now partake of.
This is the assurance that Christ left for us, for His church. This is the meal on our journey. This is the bread from heaven. This is the manna that sustains the new Israel as we await the fulfillment, the promise completely kept in the land and the kingdom that have been promised and given to us. This is a foretaste of what is coming, what is already now celebrated by all the faithful departed with Christ, what will find its culmination when Christ returns and raises us and all the dead and gives us back body and soul to the Father. And then what He began that night when He was betrayed with His disciples finds its complete fulfillment in the Father's kingdom. This is our assurance on the way. This is what feeds us. When Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," this is what He was talking about. This is the righteousness that He would have us hunger and thirst for, the righteousness which He feeds us on our way. His very body and blood laid down in sacrifice at the cross, bearing our sins, the blood poured out as the atoning sacrifice, well-pleasing to the Father, the very body and blood raised from the dead, and now seated at the right hand of God and given every Sunday with Christ's word and promise to us to eat and drink, so that this is how He may deliver to us that which keeps us alive, keeps us Christian, keeps us in His church, the forgiveness of our sins. until that day when all sin is done away with, when death is finally conquered and Christ raises us from the dead, bringing to completion what he began in his resurrection. And then, body and soul, we sit at the table with Christ again for all eternity. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.